This is National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2. I'm Gabrielle Denman, and I will be the interviewer. Mary Harrison will be the recorder. We are interviewing Selma Berkman in her apartment, 5000 Fifth Avenue. The date is July 25th, 1992, and this is an update of an interview that was done by counsel in 1988. Okay. Selma, what we want to focus on primarily is what has happened between 1988 and now, and especially a gift that you and Alan gave to the Western Pennsylvania Historical Society to establish the Jewish Archives of Western Pennsylvania. Well, could you give us the date when this happened? You don't know. And how did it happen? How did it come to be?
Many, many years ago, Dr. Corinne Krauss, with whom we're friendly, mentioned that Pittsburgh had no Jewish archives, and she said it as if it were a loss. So we had an endowment in the United Jewish Federation, and they wanted us to use the money for something. They kept taking us to talk to people about Jewish schools. I said, that's not what I want. I hear there's no Jewish archives in Pittsburgh, and Alan and I would like to start the Jewish archives. So finally they listened to us, and we started the Jewish archives. I don't remember what year.
Okay, well, we can find that out. Now, you mentioned Dr. Corinne Krauss. We all know who she is, but for the record, can you tell us a little bit about her, how she's involved with the Jewish archives?
Well, she was the first head of the Jewish Archives Committee, and now someone else is head of it, but she helped get it started and knew what to do. She's knowledgeable. She has a PhD, and she's worked on things like this, and she knew more about it than we did. And as long as it was her idea, she was happy to go through with it, and we were happy to work with it.
She will probably be one of our interviewees when she's old enough. I don't know how old she is. But that's not the issue. Now, so this fund, or this, what's
from
the
endowment fund?
What's the real name of the endowment?
I've forgotten the exact title. It's probably the Alan H. and Selma W. Berkman Foundation at United Jewish Federation.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know.
And the seed money for this Jewish archives was from that fund.
Yes.
Now, I have before me the annual report of the Western Pennsylvania Historical Society, and there's a special page of Friends of the Jewish Archives. Now, did this become a reality? Obviously, it became a reality after the fund was established. Is that correct?
No, we had that fund in the United Jewish Federation for a long time.
Oh, I see.
This is just some of the proceeds from it.
I see.
We use it for other purposes,
I see,
too.
I see. Since Selma couldn't remember exactly when this idea started, fortunately, her husband, Alan Berkman, is here, and he will tell us the whole story, how the endowment started and how they became involved with the Historical Society.
Well, Selma and I were interested in finding an appropriate way to fund a Jewish community program with the income from our foundation endowment at the United Jewish Federation. And Selma was the person who recognized the need for a Jewish archives program, perhaps in cooperation with or under the administrative control of the Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania. We discussed the subject with Howard Rieger, executive director of the United Jewish Federation, and he was equally interested and, I might say, enthusiastic about trying to establish a Jewish archives program. And the three of us discussed the subject with John Herbst, who was then coming in as a relatively new executive director of the Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania. And John Herbst was also enthusiastically supportive of establishing such a program and thought that it was possible to fund the program with the income from our UJF Foundation funds. And we did just that. Without having any authority through the Board of Trustees of the Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania, Selma and I thought that we should have a committee that would be primarily responsible for establishing and in some way identified with the Jewish archives. So we established the advisory committee, and fortunately in the discussion with who should be involved, we considered Dr. Solomon B. Freehoff, Rabbi Emeritus of Rod of Shalom Congregation, to serve as the honorary chairman. And he was pleased and very enthusiastic about being identified and named as the honorary chairman. Then we were also aware of Corinne Krause, Dr. Corinne Krause, who had been actively involved in a program generally recognized as Roots. And we discussed the subject with Corinne Krause, asking her to serve as the first chairman of the advisory committee. And then we established a number of members of the advisory committee, and that committee continues to serve as the administrative arm of the Jewish archives through and under the Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania with John Herbst and his staff people sharing in the planning and in the agenda of the advisory committee. Now, I try to remember approximately the time when this was established, and I think it may be about 4 or 5 years ago, probably 5 years ago when we originally discussed it and then actually established the advisory committee program. We've had two archivists. The first archivist, I think, was Lebowitz.
Mm-hmm.
Faye Lebowitz. And in the last 3 months, Faye Lebowitz, for personal reason, finding herself unable to continue as a archivist, resigned, and Judith Ross is the present archivist who is in charge of the Jewish Archive Program under still the Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania.
Let me put a word in here about the Western Pennsylvania. Originally, we started this as the Jewish Archives, and it suddenly dawned on me that Pittsburgh, everybody in Pittsburgh should know about the Jewish Archives, not just the Jewish people. And that's why we wondered in the Western Pennsylvania Historical Society, hoping it would start other ethnic groups putting their own archives into the Western Pennsylvania Historical Society.
Okay, Selma, you mentioned something. That you considered this a pilot project.
Yes, I remember that some organizations start pilot programs, and I didn't know what the future held, whether we'd want to continue with this or not. But I felt if we got into a good start, that we started inviting the public to become friends of the project, so that they could pay yearly dues and get certain privileges. I've forgotten what they were, and we'd have meetings, and they would be involved. I thought it was a community thing more than ours.
May I supplement that?
Yes.
We also felt, because the Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania was so supportive and enthusiastically interested in this Jewish archives, that we should in some way help expand the membership and the support of the Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania, so that the Friends of the Jewish Archives are also very often both not only friends of the Jewish Archives, but members of the Historical Society of Western Pennsylvania. And that is, again, what Selma was saying. We felt that this should not only be a Jewish community program, but a Western Pennsylvania program under the Historical Society. And to the extent that it will serve as a basis for expanding other ethnic groups into having such programs, we felt that we were making a community-wide contribution.
And obviously it worked, because we have before us the annual report of the Western Pennsylvania Historical Society, and I noticed that there are, I think, 5 different ethnic groups, maybe more, I'm not sure. And I also see from it the contributors, Friends of the Jewish Archives, is a page and a half long, and I'm sure they are new members. Many of them are new members.
There are many new members.
I know myself I am. I wasn't a member before.
Another point of information, which I think is appropriate, Corky Krause, Howard Rieger, and some representative from the Historical Society. I thought it might have been John Herbst, but I'm not quite sure.
Francis Holland, maybe.
Maybe Francis Holland. Went to Cleveland, where they have a Jewish Archives program related to and on the premises of Case Western University. And it's an exceptionally well-organized, professionally administered program. And we took that trip to Cleveland because we wanted to see how they functioned, how they operated. And we are addressing a lot of the administrative matters with the support of the Historical Society, much like they are operating the Cleveland program, which also is in some measure funded or related to the United Jewish Federation of Cleveland. But it's in the Case Western, the university facilities, and we wanted to see how it was being handled. Similarly, we examined the Balch Institute program in Philadelphia, which is related to and under some supervision or cooperation with the United Jewish Federation of Philadelphia.
Alan and I went alone. We were in Philadelphia and went down to check that one out, too.
Very good. Okay. I think we have the information we want about the Historical Society. Do you have another question?
Oh, yeah. I want to know.
I have other questions.
About
go
John
ahead.
Herbst?
Well, he's the director.
I know, but do you know anything about John Herbst? I mean, where he came from?
He's not Jewish, but he was thrilled to get this.
No, but you've
known. No, I don't know anything.
And Howard Rieger, he was the executive director of the United Jewish Federation.
And still is.
And Francis Holland, you mentioned.
Okay. I mentioned Dr. Francis Holland was on the board of the Historical Society. So when he said someone went, I just don't know if she went with
and
him
she,
or not.
Yeah, but she's also on our advisory committee.
Okay.
She was an academic, excuse me. She was an academic from the University of Pittsburgh.
She was Dean of Women.
Dean of Women, and very community-minded. And I know her well, too, because she's on the National Conference of Christians and Jews, Pittsburgh chapter, and presently on the national board. And I've been actively involved in the National Conference of Christians and Jews here in Pittsburgh.
But she was on the board of the Western Pennsylvania Historical Society, and they asked her to represent them on our Jewish archives, so she comes to all our meetings. She's the representative of the...
She's sort of the liaison, even though John Herbst is always at our meetings. I can't remember his absence. He may have been absent once only because he had a conflict or something, but he always attends. And not only does Francis Holland, but they have at least one or two other staff members of the Historical Society who sit in and participate in the agenda of the advisory committee.
So you're both very pleased with
yes.
With these.
And as you may know, okay. too, Corinne Krause just retired as chairman, and we now have David Fax as her successor.
F-A-X?
F-A-X.
Okay. Alan, let me ask you something. Tell me the exact proper name of your endowment.
Well, I'd have to look at the United Jewish Federation annual report.
Okay.
But I think it's just the Alan H. and Selma W. Berkman Endowment Fund.
Okay, that's what we want to know. Now, may I ask what other organizations, charities, philanthropies benefit from this endowment fund?
Well, we started a Solomon B. Friedhoff Chair at the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion in Cincinnati for law and practice, and that's endowed, and they have a wonderful professor there who was just involved with this
Scrolls.
Oh, yeah.
And his name is always in the paper as being in charge of those, but he's our, his chair is endowed by the Solomon B. Friedhoff.
Do you know his name?
Yeah, may I interrupt you?
Yeah.
I think his name is Professor Waldhover, W-A-L-D-H-O-V-E-R.
He wasn't the one who was here a few weeks ago. That
no.
was someone from the South.
Now,
okay.
Now let me at this point make the observation. You were asking me what our foundation fund was, or our endowment fund was, at the United Jewish Federation.
Yeah.
You should know, and the reason I tell you this at this point is that Selma is now talking about a program that we funded and established from our Alan H. and Selma W. Berkman Charitable Trust, which is totally separate and independent of the United Jewish Federation.
We started that now, and we also, through that same way that he's talking about, we helped fund the restoration of Rodev Sholem Temple, and we helped Exodus, we settled Russian Jews, that's also from our own endowment, that's not from UJF's. But then I noted that we did fund the Jewish archives from the UJF Berkman Endowment Fund. But with our regular endowment fund, we help support Jewish residential homes for emotionally and mentally handicapped people. And Alan has the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust for Benedum Center restoration and for the Fulton restoration. We helped in that. And we've established a scholarship at Wellesley College, which was my alma mater. And we also established a scholarship at Harvard Law School, where Alan went. And we gave money when the Rehabilitation Institute of Pittsburgh expanded. We helped them.
That's wonderful.
Now, related to that comes to mind the Vocational Rehabilitation Center of Allegheny County, which, for your purposes, I think is very appropriate, was established by the Jewish, the Council of Jewish Women.
That's right.
And I was a
member. You know when, Alan?
It was
1927.
It was a pilot.
In 1927. Yeah. And I think I became a member of the board of the, it was then called the Vocational Rehabilitation Center of Allegheny County, VRC, abbreviated. I became a member when they were in loft space on Penn Avenue downtown. I believe it was above the Maystern furniture store or in that area, because Harry Epstein of blessed memory and Harold Goldstein were very involved in that when I first came on the board. And then when we had a building campaign fund, which was really established by Murray Rust and the retired president of Carnegie Tech. His name escapes me at the moment, but they were the principal moving parties for developing a campaign to build the Vocational Rehabilitation Center on Forbes Avenue. And Leonard Weitzman was the active executive director during that major program change. And Leonard Weitzman just retired about 2 years ago, and his successor is Robert Mather, M-A-T-H-E-R.
What is it?
Robert P. Mather, M-A-T-H-E-R. And I must say, if I may, that I felt privileged in being the chairman of the Vocational Rehabilitation Center under Leonard Weitzman's leadership, and he was very, very instrumental in expanding that program.
Could you do me a favor and explain?
Alan, can you tell us some highlights about the development of the VRC?
Well, the VRC is primarily identified as a work shelter program designed to train handicapped people and provide facilities to develop their skills so that they can become employed in the mainstream of our society. And we have a number of corporations who cooperate with the VRC and who serve and act as employers of people who need special facilities, special training, and special experience in doing work that they otherwise could not do without the examination, without the training that is provided for them at the Vocational Rehabilitation Center. And I would think that if, to the extent that you want more details about the program, Leonard Weitzman, who was the professional acting president of the institution for many, many years during the period of its development from Penn Avenue to its very substantial facilities on Forbes Avenue, should be interviewed.
Yeah, I think he's on our list, but we'll check it out. Thank you. Now, Selma, you have to come back. You have to come back. Are there other things that have happened to you since 1988 that we should know about? Honors, recognitions? Come on.
I don't keep listening.
You go in your head. Alan, how about you? I know you were the man of the year for the American Jewish Congress. Is that
American Jewish Committee.
Committee, excuse me.
And for the National Conference of Christians and Jews,
right.
I was honored. And I'm a life member of the American Law Institute, and I'm actively involved with the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust. I'm on the Board of Governors of the Hebrew Union College. I'm an honorary board member of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion, and on the Board of Governors of the American Jewish Committee National Board. But I find it personally a great deal of satisfaction to continue to be involved in community activities, and to the extent I can be helpful and contribute to organizations on a national level, I am pleased and feel privileged to be able to do so.
Great. How about Selma?
Selma, when I'm almost 76 now. When I was 70, I retired. I'd said no more organization work. I've done my share for over 50 years. And I retired when I was turned 70. So I don't do as much as I used to do.
That's okay. Yeah. It's all right. That's okay.
So I do as little as possible.
She
now
does even more than she used to do, but in different areas and in different ways. But Selma is not retired. She's just changed her
focus, right. And how about you? Are you retired?
No, I'm not retired. I'm of counsel at Kirkpatrick and Lockhart, which is the second largest law firm in the city of Pittsburgh, and I continue to go to the office daily. I must say that I share my schedule, though, in a great measure between my legal profession and my community interests and activities.
Okay. Now, the other update, you're both welcome to comment. In 1988, the last interview, Selma, you had 12 grandchildren and one on the way. What's the update?
Bless them. We have 15 now that we're very proud.
15.
We go from the age of 26 down to one that's almost 2 years old.
Great.
And they give us a great deal of pleasure. With five children, they owe us something, you see. So they each have nice family.
And at the last interview, I think it was Marcia Rep and Dr. Coffey who were here, you discussed the portraits of the children. And at that time, you had six.
Well,
do you have any more?
We have 12 portraits. We still have three to go.
And the same painter did them
all? No, not all of them. Some were done in Philadelphia where our children live.
And what's the name of the painter who did the local painter, the woman?
Minette Bickel.
How do you spell that?
M-I-N-E-T-T-E. B-I-C-K-E-L.
So she did the Pittsburgh.
Yes. And then the Philadelphia ones had someone else.
I see.
And I don't know the name of that
one. Doesn't.
And then Cincinnati, I told her to get one and finish up what we have to do.
Okay, very good. Also in the last interview, you talked about the Pittsburgh platform, and we won't go back into it, but one of the things that you mentioned that you indeed were in favor of Reformed Judaism progressing as it goes, and you were talking a little bit about a cantor at Road of Sholem. Was this before Mimi Lerner was the soloist?
I don't remember. We don't have a cantor. We have someone singing on the pulpit.
Yeah, but they're not really,
called cantors.
We call them cantorial soloists. We used to, and I don't think they call them that anymore.
Because, of course, Mimi Lerner is kind of special.
Yes. Well, Mimi Lerner came to the Road of Sholem Temple, our congregation, when I was president of the Road of Sholem congregation.
Was she already with the Met then?
I think so.
Yeah,
when she gets old enough, we'll interview her. But she's not quite old enough. Okay.
How old do you have to be?
No, it doesn't really matter. We really should, and certainly Mr. Weitzman. He might have been interviewed already. Selma, you did mention in your first interview the Ku Klux Klan
in Shreveport.
Louisiana.
It was a hotbed.
At that time, was there a John Birch Society or not?
I don't know. I didn't know. Okay. I only knew the Ku Klux Klan because I wasn't allowed to. I think I told you this in the last. I wasn't allowed to play with the little boy down the street. He was suspected that his father was Ku Klux Klan. No one ever knew.
Was there also a very fundamentalist community?
I don't know.
Yeah. How about in Dallas?
I don't know.
You don't know.
But I know that in my own household here, I'm Jewish. My housekeeper of 42 years was Catholic, and I still have a day worker who's fundamentalist, and we all got along fine.
I can't believe this tape is still going. Must be one of those long ones. You had a relative called Samson Weiner?
My brother.
Your brother.
He's passed away.
Who taught plantation owners children?
My grandfather.
You said he was multilingual.
Yes,
he had five languages. Do you know which five? And these were the children of plantation owners. These were not black children.
No. I don't know. I just heard the story.
Okay.
I never knew him. He died before I was born.
I see. Okay. You also... Oh, I know. This is important. One of your sons was in the Navy.
Yes.
And served in Vietnam.
Yes.
Did he serve in the theater?
He was a second lieutenant, and he was... I know he won't talk about it. He got something in the mail that looked like a medal, but he wouldn't discuss it with us. He never talks about those days, but he was in the Navy in Vietnam.
How did you as a mother feel?
Well, as any mother would feel, you pray a lot, and we sent tapes back and forth. We heard him on tape, and he heard us on tape, and he'd left a wife here. And so she stayed on the West Coast, so when he had a vacation, she could go out to be with him.
How did you feel?
Well, anyway.
How did I feel? I felt as any father would feel. I must say I was rather proud of Richard in that he was one of three of his Harvard College roommates who decided not to go to Canada, as many did at that time, but rather to enlist in the service.
He said they felt their country needed them and they were going to stay.
And he was commissioned a junior lieutenant. We're fortunate in being invited and able to see him commissioned in Rhode Island. He then went out to the West Coast in San Diego for 2 or 3 months. And he was oriented as a community, as a communications officer on a converted destroyer. He was an officer on
it. And we were blessed that he came back.
I better believe it. You said in your tape that your family was always Democratic because you were Southerners and that was the thing to do. Alan's been a Republican. You became an independent. But there was a campaign when you changed again so you could vote in the primary for a woman candidate.
Right.
Who was that?
I don't remember. She was running. She was from Philadelphia. I've forgotten her name.
What was she running for? Do you remember?
I don't remember. But she was a Jewish woman that I had heard speak and I liked her. And the only way I could work in the primary was if I became Democratic. So I changed. I'm still Democratic.
You're still Democratic? You're going to vote for all those wonderful women?
If I like them. I don't vote for them just because they're
women. I know. Mention something about Huey Long.
I was growing up when he gave us free textbooks. We thought that was a big deal because we used to have to pay for them. And my father told about one of his friends who said he